All right. My next guest has been called in tonight for the sole purpose of explaining the phenomenon that is The Bachelor. The ABC reality show in its 21st season is showing no signs of slowing down. Large swaths of the internet are dedicated to discussing the show, its contestants, the episodes that just aired. The show continues to have rating success, but also continues for some to be ridiculed for what some say is its shallow, somewhat chauvinistic approach to modern dating. My guest tonight, Tracy Swartz, the Inc. columnist for the Chicago Tribune. She writes about celebrity Jay Cutler's tank top and and other things, as well as Bachelor contestants' connections to Chicago. And The Bachelor has had plenty. Tracy, great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk about this. The Bachelor is a show that is in its 21st season, but that's a little misleading because they have multiple seasons per year, right?
Right. So they do The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. They used to do Bachelor Pad. I've covered almost all of them. I feel like I've been in my current job for almost 2 years, and I've covered 6 seasons of The Bachelor.
So the show's really been on for a year and a half. It just has 21 seasons. What is it about the show? I mean, because I, you know, we were kind of talking about this earlier that, you know, it feels kind of cliche to me, this idea that there are several people vying for one person's attention with the rose and the cheesy graphics and everything about it. So what is it about the Bachelor that keeps it sort of at the forefront of pop culture?
Desperate women given alcohol. And one guy to go after.
So there's part of it that's train wreck television, right?
Almost all of it is train wreck. There's not really a redeeming quality for this show.
Are people watching it for redeeming quality? Or are they watching it with the idea of it sort of being popcorn, like kind of the Schadenfreude moment of like, oh, look at that. I'm laughing at that person because they're failing.
Popcorn, make themselves feel better about themselves. That's pretty much it.
All right. So let's talk about the Chicago contestants, because there's always been Chicago contestants this week,
sure.
One of which was eliminated
right on
The Bachelor. Tell us about Chicago has played a role in the 21 season arc of The Bachelor.
Oh, a big role. So The Bachelor this season is a guy named Nick Vile. That is his actual name, and he at times has been pretty vile.
Really?
He is from Wisconsin originally, but he lived here in Chicago, and this is his fourth time on The Bachelor. I know because I've covered him 3 times.
What do you mean the fourth time on The Bachelor?
So he was on 2 seasons of The Bachelorette. He got dumped in both seasons, in the finale, as he was like getting ready.
He was one of the last two or something like that?
Not three. This past season of The Bachelorette, but the two before that. He got dumped in the finales, preparing to propose to both women. And then he did a stint on Bachelor in Paradise over the summer, where he seemed to find love for minutes, and then they broke up. So this is his fourth time on... is part of the franchise.
Is that part of the fun of it? I mean, or is there just not enough contestants for this kind of show? Is it fun to watch, you know, they spin off someone who was dumped and maybe they have like a charisma level and they're like, that guy scored an 8. Let's give him a show.
Well, him being named The Bachelor was a surprise because he had been passed over both times he lost. Normally, if you get to the finale of The Bachelorette and you are the one not chosen, you get to become the next Bachelor.
Oh, okay.
But they passed him over twice because he was like a very jerkish character. And then Bachelor in Paradise was sort of his redeeming season. So we're supposed to feel better about him and really this time hope that he falls in love.
When you say jerk character, what makes him more of a villain than the other bachelors?
So he would like kind of do some stuff on the sly, like kind of sneak over to see the contestants. He joined the second season of The Bachelor he was on sort of mid-season, and he had been talking to the female contestants on the sly over social media, and then sort of like just popped up, and then he became a part of her season. He shamed one of the first season he was on. He shamed the woman because he mentioned that they had slept together in the fantasy suite, which is a thing. Do you know what the fantasy suite is? I'm going to tell you. Every season the men, the contestants go into a fantasy suite as part of like overnight dates as you get closer and they decide who they want to be with. And
sure. Okay, makes sense.
Like logical, in real life.
Logical, like real life, sure.
In real life. Before you get married, you should go on
to the fantasy suite.
And they go on the suite, but they don't show. It's like behind closed doors. So you can kind of assume what's going on, but you're not supposed to talk about it. And what Nick did was he talked about it in this After the Final Rose, which is like this show that they have after the woman has picked the guy that she wants to be with. And he basically said to Andy Dorfman, who did not choose him, if you did not love me, then why did you make love to me? And it was a horrifying moment for everyone involved. She was embarrassed. P.S. I read her book about him, where she mentions this moment and the
Tracy,
time they shared together.
Tracy, come on. You're reading books about this stuff? I hope that was for work.
Right, okay, good. Expensed it. And you know, she talked about how embarrassing it was. So, yes, I have seen every episode that this guy has been on The Bachelor. I watched him for 36 hours over Labor Day weekend when he was announced as The Bachelor. I watched so much of The Bachelor that when my husband ran into him, Nick, on the street in September while he was shooting his promo here, he almost went up to him like, hey, man, like he thought it was like his cousin because he is in our house so much on the TV. It is embarrassing.
There is a cottage industry. We're talking with Tracy Swartz. She's an ink columnist of Chicago Tribune. There's an industry around The Bachelor in the sense that, you know, they get on the show, but then they write books about it.
Oh, yeah.
They become the starlets of Us Weekly and other places like that. I mean, there's a money-making path for the successful contestants on these shows.
You have to have sort of a job in quotation marks that allows you to leave, you know, for so many months to film. So this guy, Nick, he used to be a computer software salesman here in Chicago.
Sure.
Then he got good at what he does, question mark, and he became a Wilmina model, moved out to LA. But you wouldn't know that watching this season of The Bachelor because the intro films him in Chicago, first of all, running shirtless through Grant Park. Who runs shirtless through Grant Park? And there's like nobody around. And it's like, come on. And then has him walking over Michigan Avenue carrying like a coffee cup and wearing a messenger bag as if he still works in software sales, which he hasn't done in months.
How much? I mean, I got to ask the question. I know that I understand like that I should pay more attention to this, and I'm not trying to set it up that I'm, you know, I'm just above it. But how much of this is fake? How much of the experience? I mean, you just talked about the promo. That's not really his life, but he's got the messenger bag and the thing. I mean, how much of this is scripted and they know how it's going to play out and everyone just plays their character?
Well, it's a good question. And the thing is that ABC, the network that runs this show, keeps a very tight lip on contestants. Like, it is under wraps. If you want to interview them, they have to sit on the call.
Right?
But I talked to a guy last year who's from Chicago, and he was a law student turned stripper who went on the show, and he told me that the producers coached him to do all sorts of stripping as part of his intro, we'll say, package for the show. So he was the first person to sort of admit to me that that happened. Usually when you talk to the contestants afterwards, you get a lot of canned responses. I can't tell you the number of reality TV contestants I've interviewed in the last 2 years. Everything's an amazing experience. You know, they won't cop to what's fake and what's not. So.
I mean, there's so much to be said. I mean, when you talk about that show or the Kardashians or others where, you know, everyone's still... I mean, I think the more educated viewer knows it's staged. It may not be fake, the conversation they're having, but it's definitely staged.
Right.
It's not something that just happened. But there really is still this large area of America that believes that there's true love on these shows, or that these characters have had a connection, or they you know, that this is a true game and it's not sort of set up.
No, I don't think anybody believes that there's true love on the show. Like, there are some people who have managed to get married from this show. The first bachelorette, Trista, is still with her husband, although they went on Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars Edition. So how solid that foundation is, I'm not quite sure. But I think people go on. No, I don't think Nick is going to find love. He says he finds love, but then these relationships last for like 4 months. You have to, once you tape the show, you get proposed to or you do the proposing, you have to then be sequestered. You're not supposed to be seen out with the person, not supposed to tweet the person. So you supposedly find love and then you have to be without that person for months. And that's a difficult way to start a relationship out in the real world. So I think that's why a lot of those relationships fail. For example, The Bachelor, a couple bachelors ago, Prince Farming, Chris Soules, he is from Iowa and they gave him that name, Prince Farming. He proposed to a Chicago nurse. She works up in Highland Park. And within 2 months of the show airing, they announced that they had split up.
Well, you find out, I mean, I know this as much from reading stories and things, that there might be boyfriends at home, there might be girlfriends, there might be, you know, like that it was never real, that, you know, I can only think of the original early Bachelors where you're like, oh, these people were supposed to be together, but they're not anymore. I mean, there just seems to be a division between reality and how the game is set up or the show is set up.
I mean, I don't think it's a good way to find a relationship. I mean, there's the reality show curse about people, tons of couples who've been on reality TV split very quickly during taping, after taping. I watch enough Real Housewives to know how many of them have been through divorces and no longer housewives. But no, I don't think anybody watches the show to think, oh, Nick is going to find love. First of all, Nick is 36, okay? He's been on the show 4 times. What is this going to do for him? Like, I see these women who are on the show and they tend to skew younger, 24. Like, it's just this very big disconnect. I mean, the reason you go on the show is to promote yourself, to perhaps get on another show, and then another show begets that. You can have
a
job,
career out of it. Yeah, right.
It's a career. But do I think Nick is going to find love? No, I do not. Like,
there are other Chicagoans. There was one of the originals. I forgot her name. Jen.
Jen Schecht, yeah.
Yeah, she was one of the originals. And then there's the one guy who, is it Ed? Who's married
Ed
to the...
Ed Swiderski, yeah. He's married to Natalie Bomke, who's a Fox 32 anchor.
So there is some Bachelorette royalty in Chicago. They're sort of became local celebrities in the way that they were on the show, and now they're you can see them on Hubbard Street, I guess.
I actually ran into Ed and Natalie at a race in Inglewood like a few months ago. But it is a feeling where you can walk around in Chicago and you can be like, you're on The Bachelor, you know, you are on. They like to pluck from the Midwest, I've seen.
But I guess the question, Tracy, is how much of it is plucking and how much of it is auditioning, where Ed wants to be on The Bachelor, so he sends his headshot in and he, you know, like you become a reality player. I've had friends, I know for being in acting, there are some friends who they would be on this show and then they'd show up on this show and they don't, those, you know, like remember those dating shows with a blind date? Mm-hmm. Things like that, where they would show up on that and then they'd show up on another one that was like that and another one like that. And you're like, wait a second, I know their story, that they're trying to make it in Hollywood, but this is sort of like an entryway for them.
Right. But I mean, they do a lot of these casting calls here in Chicago. I think that is helpful. As a person who covers almost every Chicagoan on a reality show, I mean, I know that they like Chicago because it's a big city. You know, it's in the proof is in the pudding. I mean, I see like at least dozens every year that I cover, from everything from The Biggest Loser to Worst Cooks in America to just I need to like turn off the TV half the time.
No, I think you need to. I think you need to double down. I think you need to do more, and I think you need to add a regular segment here on The Download where you just catch us up on reality TV. My favorite show, my biggest. We're gonna do guilty pleasures on the show someday. Kardashians.
Really?
I think that's the greatest show.
Are you
TV.
A Khloe, Kourtney, Kendall,
Kylie? I'm a Kim. I'm old school.
You're a Kim?
I'm
really?
Kim,
I thought, yeah. I would think
Kanye and I have
you.
Great taste. I mean, we're...
Come on.
No, I enjoy it because
she's so vanilla. She's the one with zero personality.
I don't know. I think that her personality, what I like about her is that there is this sort of cult of celebrity around her. She's the leader in fashion. She's the leader in all these kind of areas. And I kind of like the fact that she's, you know, her storyline is always wrought with some sort of whininess. Like,
she's a crier for no reason. Like, I mean, really.
Who's your favorite on the show?
I would think now that you would like The Bachelor because it's a whole bunch of whining, like crying. Like, as a woman, you cringe and you're like, ugh. Like, you would see a friend who should not be dating a certain guy and you're like, ugh, stop crying. Ugh, don't do that. Please don't go throw yourself at this guy. He's not interested. But no, I would say I'm more of a Courtney. I think she's more like down to earth and she's pretty like no nonsense.
My favorite character on the show, I should be fair, Kim Kardashian is not it. My favorite is Scott Disick. And my second favorite,
I love Scott.
I like the idea that he has to go be a, he's got a job to do and his job is to go to a party. That's essentially it. And then the second I would say is Kris Jenner.
Yeah.
Like the actual mom. The mom is hilarious. The fashions and the sunglasses that she brings out for the show is tremendous.
She's so. Like the fakest one of them all. Like.
Well, I love it. I don't know. All right, that's it. It's sold. I don't know who I talk to, who your agent is, but we're going to put together something where we just talk reality TV at a regular basis here on The Download. Tracy Swartz, the ink columnist for the Chicago Tribune, getting us up to speed on The Bachelor, the phenomenon, which is showing no signs of stopping.
Oh,
it just keeps getting more. Tracy, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.